If I start stomping up here, it's going to be loud. We'll get this up here will have padding under it, and it won't be so loud later on. But bear with me. If I get rambunctious today and start stomping, just deal with it. I want to share something with you before we. This is pre-sermon material, so this is not in my notes. This is kind of off the cuff here. But if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 40. I want to read a little passage to you real quick. This is Moses, and they're in the wilderness. And they've got the tabernacle. It's not the temple yet. It's still a portable tabernacle. But the Lord gives some instructions to Moses about the house of God. And he says in Exodus chapter 40, beginning in verse 1 there, he said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the month. Place the ark of testimony in it, and shield the ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the ark of the testimony and put the curtain at the entrance of the tabernacle.'" Verse 6, "Place the altar of burnt offerings in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting. Place the basin between the tent of the meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard." He's saying, set up for worship. Get the things in place that you need to worship and get that right. And then, verse 9, "Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stands, and consecrate them." I read that to you to tell you this. This stage has been anointed. We've taken oil just last night and anointed this altar. We don't offer sacrifices of animals. We don't need to have utensils that we use and all that. But the Lord inhabits the praise of His people, right? We offer the sacrifice of praise unto the Father in this place. So as Baptists, sometimes we say, well, we're very, very, very rigid and we don't really celebrate all that other stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. When I read the Bible, and the Bible tells me something, I'm going to do it. He said, anoint the place of worship. Anoint the altar. This is an altar, you guys. And it's been anointed with oil, just as the Bible has told us to do so. I want to do something that's kind of, some of you are going to think this is odd and strange. And you know what? It is. And that's okay. There's also scriptures been written on the stage. This is going to be covered up with carpet. It's going to be carpeted up here, and this stuff won't be seen. But I'm going to tell you, there's some passages of scripture that's already been inscribed on this altar, on this platform up here. Most of the praise team has left their mark where they worship. I have two. One for each foot. Brother Mark's here, Zachary, Jeremiah. Rebecca left her mark over there. Sine, Paula, David, Donna. This is good stuff. And I want you, there's markers here. And I want to invite you this morning, during the sermon, you're not going to disturb anything. Matter of fact, if we go this whole sermon and somebody does not get up and come up here and leave their mark, I will be disturbed at that. So I want to invite you to come up anytime during the rest of the service, anytime. Come up, inscribe a passage of Scripture, a prayer in this place, and leave on the altar today. So anytime from this point on, come on up. You're welcome to do that. You're not going to disturb anything. You're not going to mess anything up. That's what I want us to do this morning, okay? We'll talk to you about remodeling. Remodeling is not easy. You know, we talked about the stuff that's been done here at the church. It's not easy, right? It's exciting. But let me tell you what it can do. It can uncover some unexpected issues. When we took down the walls in the back, we found some old wiring that was no longer being used. And you know what? It's a good thing it was no longer being used because it was pretty ragged. The only problem was there was also wiring that was ragged that was being used. There was wiring that was in the walls that should not be hot because it went to no, it didn't do anything. It just went to someplace and stopped behind some walls, but it was still live. Those type of issues were uncovered when we took the walls down, took the sheetrock out. We found that some of the issues in the ceiling, behind the walls, even under the carpet, had to be dealt with in order to take full advantage of the new materials going back on. It wasn't just remove and replace. We didn't just take off something like the ceiling back there. We'd just take the ceiling down and put up new ceiling. We did some stuff to the inside while we were there and while it was exposed. Oh, come on, we could preach on that now. It wasn't just remove and replace. We took advantage of the opportunity to not only upgrade, but to change some things that'll suit us better today. We changed the look and the shape of some things. It'll ease. Let me tell you what this does. This has opened up a whole new area for people to come and kneel and pray. And that's better. That's good. That's good. We've got more room in the back for more people, and that's good too. That's always good too, y'all. But it can also be bittersweet, right? And I get that. I understand that. It can be bittersweet. We have to move some things out to make room for something new. Isn't this awesome, y'all? I love this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. This is awesome. We have to move some things out to make room for some of the new. Let me tell you, my daughter, Erin, at her 11th birthday this week, I was gone. Zachary and I were gone at the conference while she had her birthday, and I missed that. For her birthday, though, she got a new keyboard, an electric. It's a keyboard, but it's really an electric piano. It's big. It has a stand, and it's like really, really, really nice. Okay, she got this, and she was surprised. I think she had wanted one, and she got it because now she can play to her heart's content with the earphones on, and Daddy likes that too. But she wanted this, and she got it. But guess what? Her room is very small. And it wouldn't fit in her room with everything she had in her room. The best place for this to go was a place where her fish tank was. Not is. Was. And she knew that. And she knew that she had to get rid of the fish tank that had one goldfish in it and one turtle. This one goldfish and this turtle, I think they have a pact because the goldfish are feeder fish, okay? When you buy them at the pet store, they're called feeder goldfish, and they're called that for a reason. And they're to feed the turtle, okay? But they had this pact, I think, because this one fish and this one turtle were in there for a long time. I went and got more fish, and like a week later, a dozen goldfish were gone, but not the same goldfish. And I guess they have a deal worked out or whatever. But anyway, Erin had to get rid of the goldfish. And we relocated them safely, okay? We didn't do anything drastic. Erin and her mother, they took them down to the lake and relocated them into the lake. But let me tell you something. She was devastated. It was a big deal to her. It was bittersweet. She had a new place for now for her new gift, this piano, and it was going to be nice, and she was going to have that. But to do that, it was costing her something. It was bittersweet. But she knew in order to get this thing here, she had to do the other. There are bittersweet things here. That's what we've had to do here in this church. We've had to remove many things in order to accomplish this expansion. Now, honestly, some of the things that went away, most people are saying, it's about time. It's about time. We needed that gone. We needed that change. We needed that brightened up. We needed that. But there are some other things that are bittersweet. And I get that. I know that. I understand that. What we found, though, is not that we just have made room. Not just made room in the back. We're upgrading several of our systems. We're going to relocate some of the sound system. We're going to we've been doing some things with the lights. There's going to be new lights in the back. We're doing some different things with the lights up here. Doing some different things. The electrical system obviously is being upgraded. We've upgraded the air conditioning system in the back. Lots of things are being upgraded. It's a good thing, right? And I'll tell you something, as building techniques have improved over the last 100 years, because we celebrate 100 years of this church, not necessarily this building, but as building techniques and methods have improved, we've been able to take advantage of some of those improvements. And we're going to be better off down the road because of them. Now, we've talked about the building. We've talked about the structure and the systems and the things here, but let me tell you, let's take it to a whole next level. Let's look at ourselves. Because you and I are a project also. Remember, we're in process. And sometimes it's time for us to take a step back and look, say, okay, let me reevaluate here. This needs to be updated a little bit. This needs to be upgraded. This needs to be fixed, repaired, replaced. We need to do some of that. I mean, I'm not just talking about knees and hips, right? And heart valves and stuff like that. I'm talking about the things that make up who we are. So I have to ask you a question. Are you willing to let the walls come down in your life? Are you willing to peel back the sheetrock? Get rid of the old insulation that has turned to dust and dirt to put up new and better insulation? To patch up the places in the sheetrock where it's been patched on top of patches, on top of patches. Are we willing to make more room, change the atmosphere, update and upgrade? If we are, and I believe that we should be, I believe that we always need to be. Paul says that yet we're a new creature, but we're renewed. By how? We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Renewed. Transformed. It's from the inside out. Are we willing to make more room? Are we willing to make those changes? I believe we need to be. But as we do that, we need to be aware that our construction supervisor last week we talked about the guy in the vineyard, the farmer, the owner. We said that was like, in the parable, that's who God was. And his foreman, he called his foreman, that was represented Jesus Christ. Well, our construction supervisor, Jesus Christ himself, he just might uncover something that must be dealt with before we proceed. Otherwise, we end up with a problem down the road that creates issues for us. You see, if there's a foundational problem here, and I pull back the carpet and I see the foundational problem, and I think, I think some fresh carpet will fix that. How much sense does that make? Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, this wall is crooked and it's cracked and it's about to fall over. Wallpaper. That's it. wallpaper, a fresh coat of paint on the other side, good as new, right? You know that that won't work, but yet we do that in our lives. I've got this issue. I have anger issues. I have unforgiveness. Let me just patch it and go on, and I'll cover it up with something fresh, and I'll forget that that old rotten stuff is back there. We do that in our lives. We wouldn't do that if we're building something that we want to last. Guess what? You're going to last. That's the good news. Your old body might give out and wear out, but we're not talking about fixing the body. We're talking about fixing us. God is not interested in you covering up your issues. He doesn't want a fresh layer of paint over a rotten frame. He doesn't want new carpet over a weak, unstable floor. He doesn't want a cover-up. He wants a transformation. He wants a transformation. I think there are three steps to true and lasting transformation. Here's what I think they are. Number one, we have to give God permission to change us. We have to give God permission to change us. Remember, we don't do the fixing, but we allow the fixer to come in and do his work. That's what he does. It's a partnership. Psalm 51, verse 10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." You see, you've got to decide something. You've got to decide if you really want this heart transformation to happen. And if you do, you've got to give God permission to do it. Now, God is sovereign. He does what he wants. He does what he wants, when he wants to do it, and to whomever he wants to do it to, and however he wants to accomplish it, he will do it. I know that. But he doesn't always force himself on people either. He can. Look at Paul. I believe God is sovereign. I believe he still does that today. He radically gets hold of somebody and shakes them up. I'm praying. Let me tell you something. Your pastor and your pastor's wife and some of y'all are praying for some people in this, not in this place, but some people that we know, for God to do that to today. But most often, God works in the realm where people come to him and they say, "I recognize my need for you. I recognize who I am. I recognize who you are, and I need you. I'm dependent on you." That's what that's where most of us, how most of us come to know him. Now, if you choose to reject him, he's going to respect your decision. If you choose to continue to reject God, he's going to say, "Okay. All right." But you need to be aware of the consequences. You need to be aware of the consequences. You see, it's not a new decision that people are making today and are faced with today. 3,000 years ago, King David was confronted with an area of sin and weakness in his life. He'd done some bad stuff. He'd committed adultery. Not only that, he arranged for that woman's husband to be basically murdered. He used warfare as a tactic, but he basically sent him out there to be killed, to kind of cover up. He was just trying to put a little patchwork on the hole in his wall, right? It all came from a heart of selfishness and lust, but David realized that he needed to change. He needed to be changed. He knew he couldn't do it on his own. So this became his prayer. He said, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." He repented for what he had done, and then he prayed. Is that a prayer you need to pray today? Do you need to pray, "Oh God, create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me"? Will you give God permission to change you? Will you ask him to do what he does and only he can do. The second thing is that you got to cooperate with what God is doing in you. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says this, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. And we are all the work of your hand." How many of y'all have ever seen a pottery wheel? TV, Discovery Channel, live person. How many of you ever been able to put your hands on it and do it? Isn't that cool? Isn't it fun? How many of you think that piece of clay turns into a piece of pottery all by itself? It takes hands on, doesn't it? It takes hands on. God is the potter. He will take you and mold you and shape you into what he wants. And he's going to make you into something that's usable and beneficial and profitable to somebody if you'll let him. That's the key. We don't change ourselves. Only God can perform this heart transformation. He created you in the first place. And he's more than capable of recreating you. But again, he's not going to do it without your permission, without your cooperation. This is probably where it gets real tough. Because sometimes, even when we want God to change us, we don't really want to change. You know why we don't want to change? Because we know that if we pull the sheetrock off of that wall, we know there's some stuff that's lurking back there. We don't want to deal with it. Hadn't bothered anybody up to this point. We pull it off, it's going to be seen. I'm going to be embarrassed. Somebody's going to notice it. It's going to make dust everywhere. We're going to have to call a cleanup crew to come in and clean up my mess. Sometimes we know we need change. We just don't want to go through what it takes to make change happen. We like our sin too much. We don't like the tension that change brings. Does anybody feel tension about what's going on here at the church? There is some. There's some tension. There's some trust issues. What are you doing with our building? I don't see where it's going. I don't understand why we have to do this in the first place. I understand. I'm not fussing at anybody, because on the other side I could say, you know, there are people that are there's tension because they want to do wholesale, even more changes than what's happening. They're more radical than what's going on. There's a little bit of tension involved. And we don't like tension. We don't like that period of discomfort or struggle or even failure that often accompanies change. The best approach is this. Is to say something like this: God, I know this won't always be easy. I'm talking about us. I know this won't always be easy. I know that change can be difficult and even painful, but I want to cooperate with you. I want to work with you the best I know how, because I know that you want what's best for me. And I know I can trust you. So show me where you're working in my life. And show me how I can best cooperate with you, what you're doing in me and to me and through me. It's like saying, God, you're in charge. You form me and transform me as you see fit. Is that a prayer that you're willing to pray today? Are you willing to say, God, whatever you think's best? May not be exactly what I wanted for my life. May not be exactly what I wanted to address at this point in my life. May not be, you know, what I had planned, but I trust you because you're doing it for my benefit and for my good. And or you're doing it because there's somebody else you need to speak to because of what you're doing in my life. Are you willing to pray that prayer today? The third thing is we have to allow these inner changes to be expressed outwardly. Did you hear me? It's not just for you. We have to allow these changes that happen to us and inside of us to be expressed outwardly. This is where the things you do, the things you say, the places you go, this is where those things become important. Because they don't come before the heart transformation. They're a natural outflow of the transformation. The Bible says in Luke 6, verse 45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the outflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. What is going on inside of you will be made evident on the outside. If God does a work in you and He rewires you, people will know it. People will see it. Is that a prayer you're willing to pray today? Lord, help what you're doing in my life become so real that it touches other people than me, beyond me. Is what you're doing in my life so impactful that people are going to stand up and take notice? Am I willing to be that person that says, I needed some help. I needed some work done. I needed some fixing up. I needed some renovation in my life. Are you willing to say that prayer? Lord, here am I. Fix me. Use me. This heart transformation that we've talked about, it's a continual thing. When we started here almost 3 years ago, you guys were ready. They told me, other pastors told me, they gave me advice, said, don't change anything within the first year you're there. I was like, got it. I'm not making any changes. We're not changing anything. You're laughing, aren't you? That's what I was told. I got here and y'all are going, can we change this? Can we do that? Can we change that? And I'm thinking, oh, they told me not to. They told me not to. They told me not to. We weren't here very long at all, and before we were, the sanctuary was being painted. There was stuff being changed and switched around, and ever since, it hasn't stopped. If you think this is the last thing we're going to do, you got another thing coming. Because it's a process. We're always in continual change. And it's not just for us, because the things that are changing, the things that are being redone and reworked are going to be here for somebody else somewhere down the line. Guess what? God wants to do that with you. He wants to fix you up, change you, modify you, fix you up, make you better, improve who you are, not just for you, but for somebody else further down the line. You can clap. It's not for me. It's for God. God's good. God's good. Sometimes God is doing major changes in your life. Sometimes He's doing minor changes. Sometimes He's doing changes that take a long time. Right? Yeah, you feel me. Sometimes He does things very, very fast. When you walked in this place last Sunday, there was a little bit disturbed. You walked in this week, if you hadn't been here all week long, if you have not poked your head in and out, you walked in today, well, there's a lot of stuff happened really, really fast, right? Sometimes it takes a long time, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard, but God always has more. He always has more. This is not the last item on God's list for Dolan Baptist Church. Whatever He's been doing in you is not the last item on His list for you. He will continually make you more and more like His Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's His mission. That's what He does. That's a good thing. Will you give God permission to work in you? Will you give God permission to expose the ratty and rotten wiring, the cracked forms, the cracked two-by-fours, the studs, the framework, the foundation issues, the stained ceilings? This is coming down to y'all, in case you're worried, the stains. Are you willing? Because let me tell you something. There's a stain right here. But the stain's there because there's another issue. If we just patch up the stain, our new shiny ceiling's going to have a big old brown spot in it before very long. We've got to deal with what's up there. The same is true in our lives. We take the little old deal and we fix it up, and we paint it over, and nobody knows the better until it seeps back through. And mold grows on the other side of it. And then your problems just get worse and worse and worse, right? Deal with the issues. Deal with the root cause of the problems. That's where God wants to work. Because when you to get to those issues, to get to those things, you've got to take all this surface stuff down. You let God get in there and fix that stuff on the inside and repair it and replace it and get the old nasty stuff out. When it gets put back together, it'll really be shiny. It won't just be a cover-up. Give God permission to work in you. Cooperate with what He's doing. Cooperate with what He's doing. Invest yourself in you. Because somebody's depending on it. And then don't fight it. Allow the changes to take effect and impact the way you live. Whatever happens on the inside must come out on the outside. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, God, do that to me? Make me new. Rebuild me. Fix me up. If I was King James, I would tell you this morning. I would say, be ye renovated. But I'm in East Texas, so I'm going to say, get yourself fixed up. That wasn't even in my notes. I believe this. Listen, I believe that in a crowd this size, not a huge crowd, but I cannot believe that even in a crowd this size, that there might be someone here who has not yet put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will never preach to a crowd when I don't believe God has created a divine appointment for somebody there to hear His gospel message. I will always preach like somebody needs to hear that there's saving power in Jesus Christ. He can save you. He will save you. He wants to. I believe there may be someone here today that has not yet given their life to Jesus Christ. Someone who has not said, Lord, I understand and I know my issues. I know my problems. I've been trying to cover them up. God, I want you to come in. Take charge of my renovation project and fix it how you see fit. Come in. Wash all my sins away. Forgive me. Get rid of all that nasty stuff that's in there. That way when you put me back together, I'm better than new. Maybe that's you today. Let me encourage you. If that's you, don't walk out of here with spackling patches and stained ceiling tiles on you. Get right here in this place. I'll be standing here in just a few moments. You can come and speak with me. You can come and kneel at our brand new prayer altar that's been anointed and inscribed with scripture and prayers. Don't walk out of here without getting fixed up. Maybe you're here, and I believe there's people here today that need to expose your inner parts and allow God to do a rework in your life. You come to know Christ. You believe that He is God's Son, that He's raised from the dead, that He did all that to be the perfect sacrifice for you. And you accepted His forgiveness in your life. But over a period of time, we've begun to put patchwork up. We've ignored issues in our lives. We've covered it up, thinking nobody will notice. And the truth is, there may be some of those things that nobody will ever notice, but you know they're there. And God knows they're there. You need to renovate. You need to remodel. You need to improve the structure so that the surface looks good. Maybe there's somebody here today that has been in that process. Been in that process, but you've been holding back and you're not allowing those changes that God is doing inside of you to become manifest on the outside. Let me encourage you that as we're doing some things here in this building, freshening up, cleaning up, expanding, making bigger, doing some things here, allow God to do the same thing with you. Allow God to change you. That way when people walk in and they see you, they go, wow! I heard that several times. People walked in that back door. I can see all the way out the back. I've heard people go, wow! Woo! This looks good. This looks fancy. Whatever. It's noticeable. If you allow God to do something in you, people will take note. And that's where He loves to live. Because then you're useful to Him. You're that pottery that He's been molding. And now it's useful. It can carry water. You can mix up a good batch of iced tea in it. Sweet tea. Don't be something that's of no use to God. Today is the day. Say to Him, God, here I am. Fix me. Mold me. Shape me. Change me. And make it everlasting. Would you stand to your feet? You respond as the Spirit's call.